Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam she'asah lekol tzorchi. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs and all your needs too out there. And that's what Tabernacles is all about. His provision for his own. For the Israelites, the first time they understood this was when he provided all their needs in the wilderness. The sukkah they built and the ones they build today are a symbol of that time. And we want to welcome you to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a shofar you heard at the beginning of the program, blown by our teacher, Sheila Crawford. And we're live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today. And like I said, our Bible teacher is Sheila Crawford. And a reminder, you might like to go to Shofar's website, shofarministries.net. Do it later this week, and you can re-listen, take some notes. And you'll want to do this because every program has great insights. You'll want to remember them. So you want them for your knowledge enhancement. And we as believers, God expects us to pursue knowledge with diligence. And like he says in Proverbs 25, I'm going to hide it so you can find it. But it doesn't say it exactly that way. But that's what it means. Anyway, we're just going to pray tonight. We just thank you, Father. We say Todah, and thank you, Adonai, in heaven, for the opportunity to teach your word over the radio waves and over the internet as well. And we just want to lift up, I think, the people of Israel tonight. And they're facing a lot of danger. I know that you fight for them, Lord, and you have done many miracles. The missile attack, they just survived. There were no injuries and no deaths, and we thank you for that. And Lord, as their enemies are gearing up to attack them or whatever they're doing, Lord, we just ask that you just reveal yourself and make believers out of them all. In the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. Well, we have been teaching for quite a few weeks now on God's appointments surrounding the great harvest, the fall season. And we've covered like Rosh Hashanah. We examined the days of awe that came next. Then the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur. And last week we taught on a few of the ceremonies that are done during the last festival, which is the seventh appointment of God, called Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And it's the season of joy. And I truly know, it's the real birthday of Jesus Christ.
How do you know that?
Well, if you're new to our program out there in Radio Land, feel free to go to the website and you can get this month's newsletter. And it will tell you all about the birth of Jesus being on the first day of Tabernacles and in detail so that you'll be able to study it on your own.
And you can know.
That's right.
And you'll know how we know.
And you will come to that conclusion. The evidence is overwhelming. It just is. So we are still in that season of joy. Well, that is, we were until sundown.
Until sundown, right.
So this is actually the ninth day, which is also a celebration here. If you're not in Israel, we're going to cover all that, all those details, okay?
Yeah, we'll cover that in a minute. You know, tonight is the last, really the last, this was it, the High Holy Days.
That's just, right.
That's it.
This is it.
Oh, that's sad to see.
What are we going to do next week?
I don't know.
I
know what we could do now. We could do some news.
Well, we could. And actually, oh, it's not very happy, but the news ever is. It's just never happy. And so maybe we shouldn't give any news because it's a season of joy. Well, it's over.
It's officially over.
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, let's mention that last week's debate, of course, between Romney and Obama was good for Romney, as most of you know by now. But the race is still very close. And I just can't stop thinking that Obama, and we here call him B.O. for short, will do something pretty big to make him look great in everyone's eyes.
Sure.
I do believe that.
Never waste a good opportunity.
We might just have a game change here, though. And I'm, of course, referring to how I've said almost every week that Israel would not outwardly attack Iran's nuclear sites because BO would not let them. And I knew Israel, although capable, just would not do anything without U.S. approval. But now, Obama knows he must do something very significant if he wants to shore up his reelection. Now, I also don't think he wants to debate Romney again. So I don't know how he's going to get out of that. It'll be interesting to see, especially because it's on foreign affairs, unless something very quickly, even maybe by the end of the week, something very significant occurs in his favor.
Like what? What do you think?
Well, again, this is just purely my educated guess, and it is a guess, but at this junction, I believe that BO just might finally give the okay for Israel to do maybe just a small surgical strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. And I also base this on the fact of what happened in Israel last weekend when that unmanned drone from Iran, they know that it's from Iran, flew over Israel loaded with electronic equipment, perhaps to do a cyber attack or at least pick up some pretty vital intelligence.
Well, today's technology is really remarkable.
Oh, it is. You know, just like Daniel said, knowledge will increase in the last days. Whoever thought airplanes could fly remotely? I would have never thought that. I'm sorry, but I just would have never thought that. Anyhow, they did shoot it down by Israel's defense system. But I just keep thinking the gall of Iran.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
Just to put that right in Israel's airspace, especially at this real in this sensitive time.
I guess they wanted to see if the defense systems would work.
Oh, yeah.
And it did. Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it did. Didn't they shoot it down? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But now that I'm sure they're going to be getting a lot of information even just from that, I would think. You know, go to where it fell and...
Yeah.
You know. All right, but well, anyway, and then, 2 days later, which was yesterday, 55 Palestinian missiles and mortars were fired against Israel. 55! Now, Hamas from Gaza and Jihad Islami, they did assume shared responsibility. And then they said quite openly, well, the rules of Gaza warfare has changed. And they actually told Israel that any retaliation would mean we'll send more missiles next time, and this time it'll be from Lebanon, which would be up in the north.
Wow.
A lot of people are saying this is an act of war.
I think it is, too. And that's why I prayed tonight.
Yes.
Because it's definitely an act of war.
And, it depends, and it's going to depend all on Obama. Does he feel that he needs something like that to get the maybe all of the Jewish vote again? I don't know what he's thinking. He's got a different mind than mine. But I know something is going to happen. He's going to do something.
Well, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to make his administration look good.
Well, see, before he wanted always to stay calm so that he would win the election without any problems.
Right.
But now I think he realizes that he could lose. And so he wants to do something big, and this could be it. I don't know. And Bibi probably wants to do it as well. So he would look good again in the eyes of Israel.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Politics are something else.
Right.
But I know Israel's safety comes first before politics. As far as Netanyahu's concerned.
They feel pretty confident.
Yeah. As far as Netanyahu's concerned, I believe he's got the safety of the people of Israel at heart. We're doing the Feast of Tabernacles, right? Nope.
Well, I wanted to say one more thing.
Oh, you got more to say.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
You don't always know all that.
No, I don't.
But I do want to mention that Netanyahu did say that they were going to go to early elections. Now, normally the elections weren't until next October. But he's saying it'll be January or February. And the reason for this being is that he knows there's got to be some major cuts in the budget. If he cuts before the election in October, he'll probably lose. But if he has the election first, and then once he's reelected, he'll have a couple more years so he can make the cuts that he needs. And he's been a very good money manager. So, I mean, if it has to be done, it's the right thing to do. So I just thought I'd mention that too, but it just confused me a little because I thought, okay, well, if he wants to hit Iran, of course, I guess that won't take very long.
No.
And then have the election, and I don't know, we'll see. These next few weeks are going to be pretty nail-biting, I think.
Yeah, they are, and it just seems like they're very calm, maybe way too calm.
I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
Well, we're at the end of the High Holy Days, Feast of Tabernacles, and finally we ended tonight with the Simchat Torah.
Yes,
holiday.
And we're going to be talking about that.
And, of course, you did say you would be focusing on this week.
Yes, I did.
You said that last week, and are we going to do that?
Yes, we are, and I'm going to try not to do too much a review because it will, of course, take up too much time. But, again, I encourage people to go to my website, shofarministries.net, and listen to last week's program to catch you up. It's a two-part, so you get the first part, and if you don't, I know some people say, well, I don't have a computer, or I'm elderly, and I don't get into that. Mm-hmm. You know somebody that's got one. You know, you just do.
Yes.
Or go to the library or whatever. We are in the information age, and it is easy today to get this kind of information. And when we were on the air back in 2001,
mm-hmm.
we weren't able to do that.
No, we weren't.
You know, so now I just feel so blessed and take advantage of it.
2001?
That's when we were on, yeah.
Oh, my. That was a while ago.
And we had a little break, and we waited for a sponsor, and...
And we're back again.
Yeah, right. So it's all up to you guys out there.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, all right. So, but I do want to, this is very important that people understand. If you are born again,
mm-hmm.
you have all the feasts spiritually fulfilled in your heart. And because of Yeshua, we have the kingdom of heaven tabernacling. I can't say that word real fast. Tabernacling inside us
mm-hmm.
right now. So Jesus came to dwell amongst them,
mm-hmm.
but now he's tabernacling or dwelling within us.
So are you saying that I'm a sukkah?
We are.
We're temporary housing.
That's right.
We sure are temporary.
And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
I don't want this body in the next life.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, yesterday was Israel's official last or eighth day of tabernacles. That occurred on the 22nd day of the seventh month of Tishrei, the last day for dwelling in their sukkahs, as Leviticus 23:39-43 says.
Why don't you read that again?
Okay. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
And a booth is?
A sukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And these sukkahs were, actually it's sukkot if you want to do the proper
Hebrew plural, yes.
But since nobody knows what I'm talking about, I'm just going to say sukkahs.
Okay, that works.
But these sukkahs were made of various branches, and they needed to be able to see up through the leaves into the heavens and to see the stars and the, you know, all mm-hmm. the galaxies and stuff. And we covered that last week, emphasizing that Jesus was born in a sukkah, which could have animals living in there as well. Then we explained the other titles for this feast, like the Feast of Ingathering, Season of Rejoicing, Feast of All Nations, Feast of Lights, Feast of Dedication as well. And we explained the ceremony of the four species, of the waving of the lulav done daily during this feast and its typological applications, as well as the ceremony called the House of the Water Pouring. That was quite an elaborate mm-hmm. thing.
Yes, that was.
But tonight, we will be discussing Hoshana Rabbah, which is the seventh day, Shemini Atzeret, which is the eighth day, and my favorite, Simchat Torah, which is today till sundown, the ninth day. And it's the celebration of Torah. Of course, Torah means the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was the first five books at that time, and it still is first five books. We have a lot more books.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament's put on there. But it's a celebration of the Torah, and they just loved it so much that the Jews would even memorize it. Did you know that?
Yes.
Can you imagine
memorizing? They said the children of Bethlehem in Jesus' time had most of it memorized, or But they use music.
Wow.
They use music. They had a tune for everything.
And I have a hard time memorizing a few verses.
We shouldn't complain.
No.
No. I mean, we should use that as an example and try to...
I know.
And that's why we do, when we have Shofar Assembly, that's why I like to do a lot of the Hebrew songs we do, because they are verses from the Bible.
That's true.
And it's an easy way to memorize them.
You're right. And we have.
And we have.
You know what I think, though? Before we get started tonight, really, into the teaching, I would think I would like to play that song that is usually played on Simchat Torah, which is today. And again, we're going to expound on this later. But it's called Sisu Ve'Simchu, which means...
It means let us rejoice all together on Simchat Torah and give honor to God's Torah.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Let's play that song.
Yeah, let's take a listen. Back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was the Simchat Torah song that's called
Sisu Ve'Simchu. Yes, and if we're out of breath, if we're out of breath, it's because we were dancing.
Do you believe that? We were, actually.
Yep,
we were. Makes you want to get a webcam in here or something, doesn't it?
Yep.
Well, maybe not. But our producer was impressed, I'm sure.
Yes, he was.
And that song, and you've heard that song, you said, in Israel during this?
Yes, I did.
For Simchat Torah. And that was, I should give credit, that was done by the Yellow Dudes, which is a, I guess they're a group for children. Yeladim.
Oh, sure.
Yeladim is children in Hebrew. And those are, that was actually a children's version.
Oh, so. Well, that was a great tune. I really liked it. Now, you had played that on Friday at, when we had the meeting at Chester Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we were all dancing as well.
Yeah, everybody was dancing. I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Good dancers,
you need
too.
To dance, especially with holding the Bible in your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you either love it or you don't, and I do.
Well, that should give you a question or two in your head. And if you do have a question for Sheila, and or you'd like her to speak at your church or maybe at your home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. Some important reminders, your donations are still tax deductible, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
They are.
Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, that's spelled B-U-R-T-O-N, Ohio. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or use PayPal on the website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. And so get include your address, whether it's email or house address. We'll get it to you.
Right.
Email is nice, though, because you can print out your own copy and share it with others. Saves us ink.
Yes.
or just forward it to someone that you care about and care about their soul or your soul buddies with somebody or you're mentoring someone.
Mm. Lots of times people have called me and told me, oh, you know, I gave mine away. It was just kind of like the last minute. Can you send me another? And I've heard so many times that people do pass them on, and I'm glad about that.
Yeah, I am too. That's great news there. And also, we have great teaching and DVDs
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And anyway, all our newsletters are archived.
Right.
On
and
our
the radio
website.
Programs are as well.
Yeah, so you can get them all. And, of course, DVDs I did mention. We have the phone lines open, so if you have a question about the end times, or tonight's subject, obviously, then just go ahead and call us. The number is 888-677-WORD, that's 888-677-WORD, 9673, really. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m., and that's why we're here. We're glad you're here with us. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Wouldn't you? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars for the first Friday every month, because that's when we're at Chester Christian Center, and that's in Chesterland, Ohio at 11815 Chillicothe Road, 306.
Yes, we'd sure like to come out and say hello.
Oh, boy, would we.
All right, let's get back to Hoshana Rabbah. That's the seventh day of the eighth day feast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lasts really 8 days. And it literally means the great Hosanna.
Mm-hmm.
Or the numerous hosannas. It's the seventh day again of Sukkot. This is where the daily ceremonies now become more elaborate and more festive than they are during the intermediate days.
Like with the lulav?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The four species, which are the three different branches, and the etrog, which is a big lemon as far as I'm concerned. But... where they encircle the altar seven times instead of only once while reciting the Hosanna prayers.
Hmm.
And that is why the day is called Hoshana Rabbah, because they're crying out, save now. And it was repeated seven times.
Hmm.
So, save now. That's good.
Yeah, please save us now, please.
Mm-hmm. During the ceremony now called the House of the Water Pouring, which we did go into details last week.
Mm-hmm.
But on the last day, called Hoshana Rabbah, is when Yeshua said that he was the living water. Now, he waited till the eighth day to say that. And again, his number is eight. And I believe this is the day. Oh, this is the seventh day. I'm sorry. I'm still in the seventh day. Forget that.
Forget the eighth day thing. Yes.
But on the seventh day, Yeshua did stand up and say that he was the living water. Maybe you should read that in John 7:37.
Well, it's interesting that it's in John chapter
yes.
7. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
That's right. Wow.
Mm.
Now, this was a great statement. And actually, while we're there, do you have any idea maybe what scripture he might have been referring to? Because he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Any ideas? It would probably be a scripture said during this ceremony of the water pouring, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas, John?
I think it's Isaiah.
I think you already know. Sure
I do. Yeah,
it's Isaiah 12.
Mm-hmm. 2 and 3, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation.
Yes.
Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Sure. So he was referring to the scripture in Isaiah 12.
Yes, a prophetic scripture. Isaiah was prophesying there.
Yeah. But how many people, when you just read it casually, would even think, oh, I wonder what scripture he's talking about, and try to figure that out? But that's called study.
And that's called Hebraic roots, too.
That's right. Why it's important to do.
And that's, incidentally, that's one of the other songs we sing at Shofar Assembly, and that in Hebrew is Isaiah, that particular verse in Isaiah.
That's right. Yep. And again, he says in Proverbs 25, I'm going to hide it so you can find it.
Now, let's see. And then later, the same day, right?
Same day, Hoshana Rabbah.
Okay. It was at the feast. It's called the Lighting, Feast of the Lighting.
And it had to be sundown so they could see it better.
See the lighting, yeah. And the brilliance of this gloriously lit the temple and
boy.
The surrounding area.
Well, it lit up all Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's how bright it was.
And that's, we know that. It's first century stuff. And Yeshua actually cried out in John 8:12 that he was the light of the world. Can you imagine him doing this right at that time?
Yes. And again, God set the stage long ago by organizing detailed requirements with definite customs, using particular phrases that Jesus would use for teaching, especially for us today, I believe.
Hmm?
He really wants us to come back into the Hebraic roots because he wants to give the last generation more gold nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate him and long for him even more.
So we're actually becoming a better bride or a more beautiful bride.
More beautiful bride. Mm-hmm. You betcha. Now, I do want to mention, too, that the Hoshana Rabbah is somewhat of a solemn day as well, because apparently they thought that on this day, well, you remember that the people that didn't repent by Yom Kippur, the names would be taken out of the Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we talked about that.
We talked about that many times.
Well, they actually believed that it went into effect on Hoshana Rabbah, which would make it a little bit of a solemn day. And what's interesting, and of course, you know, we don't believe that at all, but that's the way they believed in before Christ died and rose again. We can't have our names taken out of the Book of Life, of course. But I thought it was interesting because remember a few weeks back we were teaching in Haggai?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also mentioned that in chapter 2 that God chose this day, Hoshana Rabbah, to speak through Haggai that Zerubbabel's temple was not like Solomon's and absolutely nothing like the Messiah's temple will be after he shakes the nations in judgment.
Mm.
So there's where that solemnness comes in.
Oh, okay.
You know, but God spoke that through Haggai on a rush. Anahash, how do you say that? What am I saying?
How about a
Hoshana Rabbah? Oh, my goodness.
You do well. Don't worry. You do very well.
Specifically making sure that they knew that it was that day. And he tells them in the very first verse in chapter 2 that it was 21st of Tishrei.
Hmm.
Or the seventh month.
Yeah, I remember that. That's how we started that show, or started the scripture reading by establishing in the book of Haggai there that's the first thing that gets established is that date.
That's right, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And I said at that time, well, we're going to be teaching on that pretty soon, and I'll recall this. Do you remember me saying that?
And you're teaching on it, and you're recalling it.
I am.
Yes.
All right, so anyway, now during this feast, they would also read out of Jeremiah.
Hmm.
But before I read the exact scriptures in Jeremiah, let me recall to you an interesting episode that happened on Hoshana Rabbah recorded by John, and it's about the woman caught in adultery that was brought to Jesus. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened on a Hosanna Rabbah, on the seventh day of the feast. Now, the Pharisees said that she should be stoned and wanted his opinion. Now, we know Yeshua forgave the woman, but we seldom discuss his writing in the dirt and what he could have been doing. Why don't you read that so people understand?
Okay.
It's in John 8,
okay, Gospel of John 8, verse 5. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground.
Now for him to stoop down and write in the ground, what is that, three times?
Well, at least twice, I know that.
Yeah,
yes.
I would think it would mean something. And yet for years, I couldn't get a pastor to teach on what that meant.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's obviously significant because we know that it's mentioned twice that he did that, so he was trying to show us something, wasn't he?
That's right. And you know the story. No one did accuse her. But again, I'm going to read to you another scripture. John, I'm going to let you read another scripture that is read during this week and possibly even had a sermon on it, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because Jeremiah speaks about the fountain of living waters, like Isaiah did, which, as I have said, is the ceremony during this feast.
And this particular scripture from Jeremiah 17 is...
Verse 13, I think.
Verse 13 is also one that's read, a special reading for this particular day in all the synagogues.
That's right, and I'm sure they had just heard the sermon about this. Well, you read it.
Okay, I'll read it. O Lord, the hope of Israel, Tikvat Israel, just gave him a plug. All who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Isn't that the salvation message?
It sure is.
You know, you'll be buried in the grave, not to live again. And, because they had forsaken the Lord.
And he's writing in the earth.
He'll be written in the earth.
In the dirt.
And
he did that with his finger.
And so, when he said those who cast the first stone, you know, if you're without sin, you do it. They probably saw him writing their names. I would bet it. If I was a betting girl.
Well, but it's the iron.
That's why they walked away.
Of course, and that's the irony that our Lord has, and we see so often in Scripture. They probably heard that. They probably actually sang or prayed that verse in the synagogue.
Right.
That very day.
Again, Jesus uses these opportunities to teach. It is amazing, but it's all been set up ahead of time. God knew all this, set the stage, probably before even Adam and Eve was created. I don't know, but a long time ago. So again, he wrote their names on a Hosanna Rabbah in the dirt, which was a symbol of being doomed to the grave. So they didn't accuse her, and these often missed nuggets. Time and time again, we see that Yeshua taught the people, as I said, deep messages of himself. But he especially used these festivals to do it. These feasts were important to them. How much more important for us to learn by them and to see Jesus through them. And the awesomeness of God. It's just absolutely amazing. And it's so phenomenal to me that I actually have to catch my breath often whenever I think of all that he has maneuvered so that we can see him in a deeper light. He will hide it so we can find it.
And it seems like the treasures are endless.
They are endless. Endless. And that's why the Bible never gets old.
Exactly.
Never. It can't.
And while you were reading, and you mentioned this, if somebody, a caller maybe, can help me out on this. When you say the nuggets and the words, you know, which is the word of God and the special things that we glean or that we can find by digging, the treasure. And in Proverbs or somewhere it says that the Torah or the teaching of your parents or the Torah, you should wear them as around your neck. You know, these are actual gold nuggets, and I think of them actually that if we can memorize them and remember them and teach them, they're like, they could be like a necklace for us with
that's very
tiny
good
gold.
But even more than that, we're storing our treasures in heaven.
Yes.
These gold nuggets we will be given when we get up there as part of our crowns.
Wow, they'll be in our crowns.
That's right. Every time you study the Word of God, you're storing up treasures in heaven. It is the most important thing you can do for God is to study His Word. That's why we were born.
Now you're sounding like a rabbi.
That's right. Amen. So, now, we've got to move on. There's two more special days.
Yeah.
First, I'll explain Shemini Atzeret. Okay, now that just means the concluding eighth day, which was also a holy day. Okay, here's what Scripture says. Go ahead and read that, John,
okay.
In Leviticus 23:39.
Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day, there shall be a Sabbath rest. And on the eighth day, a Sabbath rest.
And that's why I wanted you to read that, to establish the fact that it was definitely a Sabbath rest.
But the seventh day
was. The holy day. No, the seventh day wasn't, but the eighth day
is.
Because it's very, very important. And again, as I was almost mixing him up a few minutes ago, this is the day that Jesus would have been circumcised. It's Tishri 22, and they were Tishri 22 was yesterday, and it's too bad that Israel was bombarded with missiles on the eighth day of their feast.
Now, that just seems like that was planned by their enemies
to
occur on this season of joy. Yeah, sure.
They do that all the time. But again, it would be the day that Jesus was circumcised way back when, and his number is 8, so that's not surprising.
Well, how important is that?
Well, to the Jews that didn't know Christ, there's really not a big explanation as to why the 8th day was a holy convocation.
Mm-hmm.
But us as Christians, we absolutely do. It was a type of the future day that Jesus would be circumcised. Because circumcision is a sign of the covenant that God made with Israel. Jesus' circumcision is a spiritual sign of the blood covenant to be fully realized at his death to all who would believe. So it's a very important day, and I can see why God would make that a holy day.
Yeah, it's a
day
very special day.
Definite day of remembrance.
Okay.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
I like that. And that, of course, is still in first century Judaism as it is today. The circumcision is probably the very important ceremony.
I know. And didn't I hear there's some countries that are trying to do away with it?
Yep. Sweden, for one. Germany had somebody trying to put it through their legislature, but it didn't go through.
And I think it's just because the Jews have to have it, so that's why they're not letting anybody.
Yeah. Anti-Semitism is flaring up in places all around the world today.
Wow, where
it hasn't been seen for a long time. And,
right.
And that's kind of that's another thing that I'm not happy about, but it points me to God's word, and it just reminds me that we are in the last days.
Absolutely. And you know what? The Jew haters are joining together to band against Israel. The Communist Party, Socialists, and
sounds like some
Muslims,
Psalm 2,
Arabs, everybody.
It's they're all in cahoots, and they're all trying to throw off the yoke of Torah.
That's right.
They say, why should we have to follow these rules? And God in heaven laughs at them. It says.
Yes, He does. I just love that in Psalm 2. Sits in the heavens and laughs.
And laughs.
Oh,
mm.
Wow. Oh, amen.
Amen.
All right. So anyway, the eighth day is Shemini Atzeret, the concluding eighth day.
Okay.
Now, we have another day, the ninth day,
mm-hmm.
that is celebrated as the Simchat Torah, and that was what we were talking about a few minutes ago and what the song is about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, but it's important.
I want to say it. In Israel, it's actually the eighth day they do the Simchat Torah and Shemini Atzeret.
Shemini Atzeret.
They're
yeah.
both, and you've told me day. This, they do this. But everybody outside the diaspora.
Or outside of Israel.
Outside of Israel does it on the ninth day, which was today.
Right.
So that, and that you said was probably going on in a lot of synagogues around town today.
Well, I purposely went on the internet to see who was having services, and there were a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, there were definitely
cool.
a few. So they did celebrate it. One was, I know, in the morning, and the other one was at sundown. And so.
Well, we had ours at sundown at the radio station.
That's right. That's right. The sun did come down when we were here.
We're dancing.
That's right. But anyway, this ninth day, and again, now this is not originally in Scripture. Okay, this is not, I can't give you a scripture for you to read that says that they should hold up the Torah and dance with it. It doesn't say that. But sometime around the 9th century, and it's hard to get specific on that. I couldn't find the details when they knew for sure.
Hmm.
But somewhere around the 9th century, they began it. And I'll tell you what, even though it's not in the Bible, I am sure that this is a special day pleasing to God, because what could be more pleasing to God but have them honor the Torah as they do on this day?
Yeah.
And it's actually the time when they finish reading the Torah, which would be, what, Deuteronomy 34.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would start again reading Genesis 1. And again, it just reminds them that the annual Torah reading is a cycle.
Mm.
Okay, so they would conclude reading the Torah and then begin anew. And in case people don't know this, every Saturday, the same sequential reading of the five books of Moses is read all around the world in the synagogues, the same ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they get together and know all that, see?
And, this...
and anyway, on this day, again, they would just start over and cycle after cycle.
After cycle.
Kind of reminds us that the Torah is a circle, and because it never ends.
It never ends. Now, when you were in Israel seeing this ceremony performed, how were? Can you describe, do we have time for you to describe how the Torah, how the literal scroll appeared? You said they were lifting it up, they were carrying it, dancing with it. How did that scroll appear? Did you actually see the paper?
No.
Okay.
It was covered in a velvet container.
Uh-huh.
It was very large, and it looked heavy to me, so mm-hmm. only the guys really were carrying it. But they were lifting it up, and they would kick their feet up and dance to the music. And not everyone had one, because it probably came from some synagogues, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But then the ones that didn't have it, they would get together, and they would pick up people and, like, throw them in the air and just dance to this music and sing and just have a good old time. And what was cute is that when I was there, it was a lot of the Hasidic Jews, so they had the big black hats and the curls on the side mm-hmm. and stuff, and to see them dancing around and just being so happy, it delighted my heart.
Oh, it would be. What a sight. And I have seen some of these Torah scrolls, and like my sister would say, they are decked. And
yes.
that means they have that velvet cover, but the work, the needlepoint work on the velvet
yes.
cover, and then some of them have literal crowns. Made out of like silver sometimes, and just an actual crown that goes on top of the scroll.
Well, didn't you even carry one time?
I used to,
you went?
Well, sure, yeah. Actually, that's a regular occurrence. That's a morning Torah service, and they always have that on
yes.
on the Shabbat in the morning. They don't do that at the night before.
Okay.
But, and if you hang around the synagogue long enough, sooner or later, you'll wind up getting to carry that thing, and it is heavy.
Well, it's not actually a synagogue. It's a Messianic.
Messianic synagogue. Yeah,
make sure you.
Yeah. But you can, I've attended.
Well, there's Jewish people coming to the Lord. It is so awesome.
I know.
First, a lot.
They've got their land. They're back in the land. And more of them are heading back there every day. And it's huge how many Jews are getting saved these days.
I know.
It's a huge number.
And why? Because it's a sign of what's going to happen during the tribulation.
Exactly.
You know, so. But I do want to mention, too, that even children, although because they can't carry the big scrolls
or anything like that.
They would actually follow around carrying little small toy Torahs. So
little stuffed, like little stuffed animals, only they were toys.
Oh, yeah, children had to be part of it as well.
Exactly.
We have a question from Aurora wants to know if you think nowadays circumcision comes from the heart. Oh, of course it does. In order to be born again, you have to circumcise your heart, and that is the spiritual circumcision. Absolutely,
and that's
right.
That's the real important one.
That's right. That's it. That's if you don't have that, you're not saved.
Or you'll be trying really hard and not being able to actually please God. But once you're circumcised in the heart, then you naturally want to please God.
Yeah, I think that was actually Mark from Aurora. Thank you.
What did you say?
I said Aurora. I thought it was just
Aurora from Mark?
Yes. I knew somebody once whose name was Aurora. Girl. So,
pretty
anyway,
good.
But it was Mark.
Mark and Aurora.
Thank
you.
Mark, I thank you so much for pointing that out because it was important to definitely say.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. Thank you, Mark.
So, what else did I want to say? Because we're running out of time now. But let me just give you a Hasidic adage is how I saw it in my book.
Mm-hmm.
On Simchat Torah, they say, we rejoice in the Torah, and the Torah rejoices in us. The Torah, too, wants to dance, so we become the Torah's dancing feet.
Hmm.
That's why they pick up the Torah and let the Torah dance. So nice, but what I really struck out to me was that the Torah rejoices in us. And, of course, Jesus is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is the Torah as well. And they, of course, realized that at some point in time, the church could actually have Jesus dwelling inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they were prophesying.
Yeah. So we could join that dance just as well.
Oh, absolutely. And we do, don't we?
And we do.
So, and then we already sang this, had them sing the song a few minutes ago of one of the songs that they sing during this time. And, you know, I think it might be a good idea that we, when we leave tonight, just before they close,
play it again.
Yeah, maybe we could do that.
We can have the reprise.
Yes,
that,
what was the name of that again?
Sisu Vesimchu.
That's right.
Rejoice and be glad.
All right. I do want to mention, too, that I did look up in the Bible what they did on the 23rd day of the seventh month anywhere.
Oh.
So I went into the reference.
Which would be the ninth day?
The ninth day.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 23rd. That's today.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in the 23rd day of the seventh month, and I came up with two scriptures.
Mm.
First Kings, but that's the same one in Second Chronicles 7:10. It's the duplicated there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I'll let you read that. It was at the end of Tabernacles, and by the way, it was the dedication of Solomon's temple had just taken place.
Okay. And this is on the, I'm reading from the scripture, on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents, joyful and glad of heart, for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel.
That's right. So I thought it was interesting that both 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles 7 mention the fact that it was on the 23rd day.
So there is a precedent for it.
Yeah. So that's good. But they were very happy. Solomon's temple had just been dedicated, and he dedicated, of course, during the Feast of Tabernacles. And why not? Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacles, and he is the temple also, and he is dedicated, so it all fits.
And he is dedicated on the eighth day, which is his circumcision, which
That's
is
right.
kind of like a dedication, right?
Well, it is, but he was actually brought to the temple.
Oh, yeah,
on
the 40th day for the,
for his dedication, which would have been Bull 25.
Okay.
Which just happens to be the year or the month that Solomon actually finished building the temple. Now, he didn't dedicate it to the following tabernacles, as we see here, but he finished it on Bull 25.
Now, isn't that?
And that's mentioned in the Bible as well. So.
Well, isn't that interesting how God puts all these things together? I mean,
it's amazing. More than amazing to me.
And then, he includes us in it.
That's right.
And that's just grace, because that's what God can do.
That's right. So, amen. So now Tabernacles is over.
Mm-hmm. We conclude the High Holy Days, or the last of the three festivals that Yeshua
that will be fulfilled someday.
Has not fulfilled.
Jesus fulfilled it halfway by being born at Feast of Tabernacles. But he's going to fulfill it all the way when he comes back and ushers in the millennial kingdom on a Feast of Tabernacles, which is 5 days after he actually returns on Yom Kippur. And during Yom Kippur and Tabernacles, he will actually separate the sheep and the goats, so we'll know exactly who will be going into the millennial kingdom.
Mm.
So it's going to be a wonderful time. But again, you have to remember that even though Tabernacles is over, it's not over for you if he's in your heart.
That's right.
When every day is a season of joy. So, till next week, Shalom, Havarim. John, can you close us out in prayer?
I would be happy to. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisim lecha. Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He will. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Ah, yes. And before we go, we got to ask you, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Or do you have only the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction? It's easy. Just get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. You know what they are, and they're weighing you down. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity.
Let's go out with a bang.
Okay.
בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה שישו ושמחו בשמחת תורה ותנו כבוד לתורה
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.